Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.
For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Go down. For if he that cometh preached another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. Let's stop here so far. There is this simplicity that is in Christ. But before I come there, I want you to take note of something. If you have like NIV version, there are some Bibles that give caption to chapters, some chapters. Like if you have NIV, in this chapter 11, at the top of it, it talks about the apostles, the false apostles. Now, if you look at this place, you will now understand that Paul is saying, I, as your teacher, as your leader, my goal is that I will present you to Christ as a virgin. I have introduced you to a husband, and that your husband is one. That husband is Christ. And when you put your faith in him, you have everything you need. And our faith in Christ, because the people he's talking to, there is a problem on ground. These false apostles, which were the major people that actually troubled Paul throughout or during his ministry, these were the people that came up with what we call the circumcision gospel. So Paul had presented the gospel to the people, which is all about faith in Christ. But these people came up and said, no, faith in Christ is not enough. You must go back to Old Testament, to Old Covenant. You must add the circumcision. There is something you must add to what Jesus has accomplished for us on the cross. If you don't add that, then your salvation is not complete. But Paul is saying, faith in Christ is enough. Faith in Christ, in that you have everything you need. There is nothing remaining. There is nothing for you to begin to look for somewhere else. Hallelujah. Everything is intact in him. You don't need anything elsewhere. You are complete in him. Your salvation is okay. You don't need anything elsewhere. So, but these people say, no, you must add circumcision. You must add the law of Moses to this. And Paul was saying, I am afraid. That's why he said, I know the gospel I've gave to you. I know the gospel I preached to you. Now, if anybody comes, I'm afraid. That's why he said, I'm afraid. I fear that if some people comes to you and gives you a different gospel from the one I've given to you, you will yield to that. You will yield to it. And can I tell you something? That is exactly what is happening in the body of Christ today. Many of us feel that faith in Christ is not enough. We needed to add certain things before we can really get the benefit of this Passover, the benefit of the death of Jesus on the cross. But I want to tell you, you don't need to add anything. There is that simplicity that is in Christ. And he said, I'm afraid that the way devil beguiled Eve is going to use the same strategy on you. So let's go back to the Old Testament and see what happened there. I'm coming back here. What happened in the Garden of Eden? God created man in his own image after his likeness. So God made man, Adam and Eve, in his own image after his likeness. And one day the devil came and then asked Eve a question. Is it true that there is any fruit of any of the trees in the garden that God said you should not eat? Here, I can see that he was not sure. He had taken time to observe that it's possible there's a particular fruit of the tree in the garden that Eve does not go near to. But he was not sure. So he put up the question. Then Eve gave him the information he needed. He said, yes, there is that one. In fact, God even told us not to touch. Then the devil go further and said, if you eat it, this one, you are going to become like God. Question. They were already made in the image of God. Do they need to add anything again to become like God? Okay. They were already in the image of God. Hey, it's just like you, my brother. You're already a man. And somebody said to you, take a glass of water and so that you become a man. Eh? That is foolishness. You're already a man. You don't need to add anything. So he said, eat it. Because God knows that when you eat it, you become like God. They were already made in the image of God. They were complete. They don't need anything else. But the devil said, you need to do something. You need to do something. There is something you must have to do. And for Eve, she feel, I didn't even know when God did the work. I only opened my eyes and I see myself. Now, I know I am in the image of God. But I didn't participate in this. I didn't play any part in it. So, it's as if human beings always desire that they be part of something, they do something. They want to do something. They want to add it to God's work. They want to add it to what God is doing. So when you come to the salvation of man, we still feel that way, that there is something we need to add. We should be part of this thing. And so, the Bible said that Eve now set her eyes on the fruit and then began to look at it. As she gazed on the fruit, she now saw that the fruit is able to make one wise. It's good for food and pleasant to the eyes. So she saw this. And then she stretched out her hand, plucked the fruit, and ate. Contrary to what she thought. Hallelujah. The image of God she was looking for, she lost it. She lost it. Anytime devil deceive you and bring you to a point that he wants you to add something to what God already accomplished in your life, you are going to miss that which God already has given to you. So instead of gaining that, she lost the image of God. And she gave to her husband, who collected and ate. Now, they lost the image of God in which they were already made. They lost it. Now, Paul is saying, I am afraid that the same thing that happened in the Garden of Eden is about to repeat itself. Okay. Are you following what I'm saying now? Because by faith in Christ, in the finished work of Jesus, you are complete. You don't need any other thing. Jesus has paid the price. It's complete. You don't need any other thing. But I can see there are some preachers that have come along, and they want that teaching you a different gospel from what we taught you. And they are telling you, you need to add something to what God has done. You need to add circumcision. You need to add something to what God has already done. So that you can become. But you see, it is what you already you are. You don't need to do anything to add to it. God has made everything perfect. Now, listen. And then Paul was serious about this matter. So serious about it that he said a lot. In fact, he said, talk about the spirit. You don't need to receive any other spirit. Whatever you have, the spirit of God in you, the gospel I gave to you, they are already, you are complete in that. You have received everything you need. You see, all you need is to pay attention, study more, go deeper, build up in that truth that I've given to you, then a lot of things will avail for you. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, this is where we are today. Now, listen. In the Garden of Eden, the devil came directly to Eve. But in this time, New Testament generation, it's not coming directly, it's coming through preachers. It's coming through preachers. Now, let me go forward and tell you, listen. We have come to a point where a lot of believers today are no longer satisfied. Of course, that is not our central teaching today in the church. We have shifted from focusing on Jesus. We are looking at other things. That's why today, many people believe that there are things you need to add to what Jesus has done for us. That's why, if I come here now, and I come with a bottle of oil, and I release this, I pour this oil, one bottle, and finish the one bottle on the head of somebody here, and I didn't pour on another person's head, the person I finished the one bottle of oil on his head or her head will feel better and feel that I have received more than the other person. Because the faith is shifting from what Jesus has done on the cross. It's now going to the oil. Because we feel we need to add something. Are you getting what I'm saying now? We feel we need to add something. Excuse me, please. This is why some people are making merchant of us. They sell oil and tell you this special oil. I fasted 40 days over it. Then you need to buy it. And then because you feel you need to add something to what Jesus has done, your faith has shifted from the finished work. You are going to something external that you can touch. That's why today people sell mat. And it tells you, I kneel down there to pray every day. And I've been there for 40 days. I fasted on this mat. And then if you buy it and then put the mat on the ground and pray on the mat, the miracle will happen to you. Who have done this to us? Now, we are shifting out. You are shifting out. And the church, the faith of the people of God, is being moved away from the finished work of Jesus on the cross. We are not going to material and external things. We want to add something. Let me tell you. That's also why some people today pray for people that will fast for them. So I'm excited with this topic. That's why people pay people to fast for them today. Because when you come for prayer, counseling, the person tells you that this your case is a very big one, it's a tough one. Then you need some people to fast for you. Then you can't fast, then we will do it for you. And then he tells you, we're going to go on 40 days, but you have to pay us. You have to pay us. And excuse me, sir, when such people go to a place where the man of God simply taught them the word, they feel there's nothing here. No, there's nothing here. It's so simple like that. Just believe. You mean I just believe? So simple. Yes. That is the simplicity. That is the simplicity that is in Christ. That's what Paul was talking about. That I'm afraid devil is about to push you away. He's about to move your heart away from the simplicity that is in Christ. It looks so simple. Listen to me. Salvation is free, but it's not cheap. It's not cheap. Not because of you, because of the person that paid the price. Somebody paid the price. It's not cheap. God that gave the only son, it was not a cheap sacrifice. The son that left his glory, it was a cheap one for him. The son that came down here and suffered humiliation, not a cheap one. But for us, it is free. Listen to me. You sinned. And you needed to offer a sacrifice for you to be redeemed. Are you hearing me now? But you are not qualified to bring the sacrifice. The one you sinned against, hey, are you hearing me now? Became the sin. Became the sacrifice. Became the priest. Offered the sacrifice. Received the sacrifice. And set you free. And say, only believe in what I have done for you. Excuse me, what was your contribution? Do you see why we don't believe this? It's so simple. You mean I should only believe? And so me, we ask you, we know terrible sinners, armed robbers, kidnappers, murderers. After they have done all this, you mean they will just believe and they are saved and forgiven? Simple. This is the simplicity that is in Christ. And so, the generation we are in now, we are moving away from this. We are moving away from this. We are shifting away. Please, give us that scripture again. I want us to still read it down. We stopped at verse 4. Let's go down a bit from that verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We read down again. Let's start from verse 4 again. Let's go down a bit. For if he... Okay. No, from verse 4. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if he receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with it. That's my fear. Verse 5. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostle. I am not the weakest. I'm not. The next one. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. The next verse. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted, because I have preached the gospel to you? Hallelujah. Do you see something here? Because I preached the gospel of God, how? Freely. Please bear with me this morning. Now, do you know that there are ministers that makes things so high and difficult? For you to get them, you need to pay a high amount of money. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying now? They charge you, you need to pay. Do you know many a times, the people that don't make things difficult for us, we feel they are less apostles. We feel they are less apostles. Because the other ones make things difficult. Before you can reach them, the amount of money we pay, they will make sure, you know, and somehow, psychology, we feel these ones are greater. These ones are more anointed. God, is somebody hearing me now? They are more anointed because it looks so simple. It looks so simple. You see, I don't know why, but you will see this thing we are talking about right from Genesis, from the time of Eve. She wanted to contribute. Some in the Bible, you know, the Jesus was talking. And then the people around, you know, because he was telling them that you should not labor for food that will perish. Labor for food that will last unto everlasting. You know, the word labor, it also talks about work. So immediately he said that, they now ask him, what work shall we do? What works shall we do to do the work of God? You see human beings. And Jesus looked at them and said, no. The only work you need to do the work of God, is to believe. Believe in the one he sent. They were looking for works to do. But Jesus is telling them, no, the work you need to do is to believe. That is how many people are looking for works to do. After preaching, and the thing looks so simple, they will still ask you, sir, what am I to do? Is that all? So simple like this? What is my own part? What am I going to do? God will open our eyes this morning. I said, God will show you something this morning. Now listen, Complex solutions appeal more to humans. Complex solutions, it appeals more to humans. When you make things complicated, so complex, this one must be genuine. this original. Because this thing can't be so cheap like that. But God will deliver us today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the message of the cross is the power of God. What did I say? The message of the cross is the power of what? Of God. God's power is not our eloquence and nuggets. God's power is not our eloquence and nuggets. It is the message of the cross. Hallelujah. It is the message of the cross. That is the power. And once we shift from the message of the cross, now we begin to miss the power, the flow. I'm going to show you something still. Are you hearing me now? I will show you something. But you see, if we have come to a point where we no longer experience the power of the gospel. Why? We have shifted from preaching the message of the cross. Because it is the cross. What happened at the cross? That is where the devil was defeated. That's where the devil was disarmed. A lot of things happened there at the cross. Praise the Lord. Let me tell you, Jesus said it is finished. And let me tell you, Jesus is too big to purchase a partial redemption. It's too big to purchase a partial redemption. I want us to look at Colossians chapter 2 from verse 6. Colossians 2 from verse 6. Okay. I read from here. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you. Now listen, you have been introduced to Jesus. See to it that you continue to grow in Him. Get rooted in Him. Then be watchful. Verse 8. Look at verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive word philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elementary spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So see to it that no one takes you captive. What is he saying again? Shifting you away from the simple faith in Christ to the philosophy that depends on the traditions of men. Traditions of men. Sorry, my people in the Southeast, what is happening now is that the many Christians are shifting. They are going back to the tradition of men. They are going back to African traditional religion. They are being taught now that you must add certain things. Are you hearing me now? To the work Jesus did for us on the cross. And you see them going back to rituals, sacrifices, because they believe they have to add to it. That is what's happening in the East today. And that is why this theme is timely. Because God is calling us back to the truth. And I believe that some of us that have gone the other way, God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, will pull you back to the truth. In the name of Jesus Christ. I say in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we continue to read. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and elementary spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. Now, in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives. How? In bodily form. Now, meaning that in Christ, every fullness, all the fullness of the deity is found in who? Pay attention here, please. It's found in who? It's found in Christ. All the fullness of the deity is found in Christ. Then, he says, when you now receive Jesus Christ into your life as a personal Lord and Savior, You have received the fullness of God in the inside of you. Then the Bible says you are complete now in Him. You don't need anything elsewhere. Everything, the fullness of God is in Christ. In Christ, you have the fullness of God in your inside. You are complete in Him. You don't need anything elsewhere. You don't need to add anything to your faith. Hallelujah. We must stand on the truth we know. Now, let's look at something I call looking forward / looking behind. Now, in the beginning, Adam's disobedience marked the start of human hardship. Immediately, Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Hallelujah. That marks the beginning of human hardship. God stepped in and said, cursed is the serpent. Cursed the woman. The man cursed the ground on behalf of the man. And they said, from today, it is out of your sweat that you are going to eat. Then the Bible said that the land began to produce thorns and thistles. They were not there before. God didn't create that. It was not there before. It marked the beginning of human suffering. And from that moment, in Genesis 3:15, God also declared the redemptive plan. He said, the seed of the woman is going to bruise what? The head of the serpent. Now, from that moment, now listen, what I'm about to say. The Old Testament preachers and the saints of the Old Testament, they were looking forward. Are you hearing me now? To the coming of the Messiah. They were looking forward to this redemption that God has promised. They were looking forward. And all that we are looking forward is to see how will it happen and when will it happen. The Bible tells us that even the prophets that prophesied about this, they were looking forward to see it. And they were eager, hallelujah, hallelujah, to know that when it will happen and the people that will enjoy the glory that will follow. So they were looking forward to this. Follow me carefully. But I want you to understand also that in the New Testament, we that are here now, we are expected to be looking, are you hearing me now, to what had happened in the past. They were looking forward. We are to be looking behind to what has happened in the past. I will tell you what I mean. Because that is where we are getting it wrong. Are you following me now? When you are believing God for healing, instead of looking forward for when the healing will come, you are to look backwards to what Jesus has done on the cross. Okay. Because you are already healed. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Now, when you look at Isaiah 53, he said, by his stripes we are present tense. But when you come to Peter, after Jesus had died and resurrection, after he had paid the price, now in the book of Peter, Peter said, by his stripes you were. So which day, when did you receive your healing? You received your healing on the day he died on the cross. So you don't need to be looking forward for the healing to come forth. You need to look backwards to where the healing manifested. So you already healed. So now, if sickness comes on you, I will show you. Because we are talking about standing on the finished work. You will understand what it means to stand on the finished work. That is what many of us are not doing. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. That is what many of us, we are not doing it. I have scriptures here because of my time, I'm rushing the thing. So let me show you now practically what we mean. In Numbers 21, you know the story. Hallelujah. In Numbers 21, the children of Israelites sinned against God. At a point, they were unhappy, hallelujah, with God and with Moses. And they murmured. Then the Bible said they sinned against God and God was not happy with them. Then God sent, poisonous snakes all over the camp. And the poisonous snakes begin to beat them. Like, listen, anyone that the snake beats, the person dies. Then they cried out to God and said, Father, help us. Deliver us from this. Remove these snakes from us. Now, what was their prayer point? Remove the snakes. Okay, God had their prayers and decided to answer. But what did God do? Please pay attention here. What did God do? God asked Moses and said, make a brazen serpent and then put it on a pole and hang it in the center of the camp. What was their prayer? Remove the snakes. Did God remove the snakes? No. He said, Moses, make a brazen serpent and put it on a pole. Put it in the center of the camp. Now listen. Whoever the serpent beats, what must he do? He said, let him look up and then gaze on that one that is on the pole. And then he will be healed. Now, you have options. If a serpent bit you, first option, pursue the serpent and kill it. Huh? Now, if you start pursuing the serpent and kill it, you will die. Second option, begin to cry around and then run to your friends and say, help me out of this. Help me out of this. Now, if you start running around to your friends, telling them to help you, you will die. Another one will bite you. Thank you. Then, what is the solution? Don't chase the serpent. Don't start running around. Don't start running to people. Now, look at the one, the brazen serpent on the cross, I mean on the pole. Then begin to gaze on it. Now, as you set your eyes on that, then the power comes from there and then brings healing to you. You will live. Sir, the message of the cross is the power. You see, it is as you are looking at there that power flows from there. But let me tell you something. You know what God was telling them? If you are beaten by a serpent, don't chase the serpent. Set your eyes on the one. Now listen, that same serpent that beat you, God is saying, he's already dead. There is no need pursuing it. Look at that one on the pole. That is that same serpent. He's dead there. Your intention was to kill, but I've already killed it for you. But you see, because we want to do something, we want to be... You will start pursuing the serpent and then you will die. But God has killed the serpent you are pursuing. He's already dead there. Hey, listen to me. Listen to me. Listen. This is where we are missing it. Sir, I'm very interested in this topic. Because we must call the church back to the cross. Back to the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The church must come back. That is where the power lies. And devil is so cunning that he do not want you to understand the thing that happened on the cross. He honors, the Bible said, oh, the prince of this world, had he known, I didn't want to say now, he would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He would not have done that. Because that is where God finished him. So, for you to start pursuing the serpent around, that's not what you need to do. Just set your eyes on the one that is dead there. Set your eyes there. As you are gazing on that, you are seeing the serpent, the opportunity is already killed. It's already dead. And dead serpent can do no harm. While you are gazing on that, the poison and the venom dries up, goes away. Meaning that you should continue your normal business, irrespective of number of serpents that lead out everywhere. That is why he said, we shall trample upon scorpions and snakes. But some believers are busy chasing serpents everywhere, chasing demons everywhere, chasing powers everywhere. 9 vigil, 3 hours, 5 hours, you are dealing with devil, you are dealing with demon. And that is why you don't face the assignment given to you. You are just fighting the devil. You will not finish fighting the devil. He didn't tell you to. He said, go ahead. He's already handled there. March on them. Trample upon them. And keep making progress. March on them. Keep making progress. If they say they will bite, let them bite. But as they bite, as your eyes on there, it's of no effect. He have disarmed principalities and powers. He had made the publisher of them, triumphing over them on the cross of Calvary. Why are we paying attention to the things that doesn't matter anymore? So like I said, the Old Testament saints, the prophets, They were looking forward to the day of the Messiah. But for us, we are looking backwards to what has been accomplished for us on the cross. Hey, listen. When you are reading the Bible, especially the New Testament, let me tell you something. Just write it down. The sense is in the tense. The sense is in the tense. So, look at the New Testament. Most of the things you are looking for, you will see them in past tense. Those he called, he justified. Those he justified, he glorified. You are looking for glory, right? You already glorified. You are looking for deliverance. In Colossians, you are looking for deliverance. We have been delivered. Past tense. Tell your neighbor, the sense is in the tense. Past tense. You are delivered. You are delivered. Delivered from the dominion of darkness. Transferred. Transferred. Transferred into the kingdom. Transferred. So you already in the kingdom of God. Kai. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, what you need is conscious, being conscious of these truths. The sense is the best. Check everything we are looking for now. Healing by his stripes. Now listen. Anytime I read that scripture, I will imagine, because this is a letter to a church, I will just imagine that some people are in the church who were sick then, and the day they received the letter, maybe Peter was to read the letter to them from the pulpit, and somebody was sick in the church. Now, and they told them, this is a letter from Peter, and then their leader was to read. He said, it's a letter from Peter. And then while reading, somebody that was sick sitting on the chair, then he will now hear that by his stripes you were healed. I will just imagine that the person said, what? So I have been healed? Let me tell you, your deliverance from sin and that of sickness, that of poverty, that of whatever took place at the same time, at the same place. Go and search scriptures. Anywhere you see Bible talk about sin, what we follow is freedom from sickness. They all happened in one place at the same time. But we always lay hold on that of sin and then leave others. So we must understand how to look at the cross and set our eyes on the cross. That is where the power of gospel lies. That is where the power will flow to you. When you can know how to meditate on what Jesus has accomplished for you already. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. Now, we look at what I called the Passover lamb. A lamb for a family. And then Jesus, our own Passover lamb. Now, in the Old Testament, you know the text. It was the feast of Passover that they were about to eat. Are you hearing me now? I will still come back to that text. So, in the Old Testament, what happened? Israelites were in captivity in Egypt. When their time for freedom came, God brought so many plagues. Do you remember? And then, one day he told Moses, there is one that is remaining. And when this one happens, Pharaoh must allow you people to go. This is God's last card. And that is that every firstborn is going to die in Egypt. But before that happens, you Israelites, every family have to get a lamb. Because you are going to sacrifice the lamb. You will kill it. And on the night you kill the lamb, you will eat the lamb inside the house. And then put blood on the lintels. Then after you have done that, stay inside. In the night, I'm going to pass over the land. Now, as I come, every door lintel where I see the blood, I will pass over. But I will enter every Egyptian house, family. Somebody must die. Something must die. Then you have to obey this. But after this, you have to keep it as a festival, as a memorial. Every year, you must do that. Now, it was that day that they sacrificed the lamb that they came out of captivity and out of bondage. Now, what happened next? You will never read about the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. He never followed them. Are you hearing me now? It was immediately after that sacrifice that the pillar of cloud and fire came. God's presence came. Let me tell you, immediately you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. From his death on the cross, he has brought the presence of God to you. So as you receive Christ, the presence of God, we have what we call the indwelling. God is in you and God is with you. He travels the life with you. He travels the journey of life. So the Passover that took place brought a lot of things. Israelites came out, not poor. They came out with gold. So the sacrifice of the death of Jesus on the cross broke the power of poverty. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying now? It broke the power of poverty. What I want you to understand this morning is that everything you are looking for in life through the death of Jesus and his resurrection, it has been given to us freely. In our problem, we don't understand what happened on the cross. I will try to show you some of them. I will try to do that. And then, once that sacrifice was done, the devil lost his grip over them. They came out triumphantly and they marched out of that land. And then, the Bible tells us in the book of in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 to 8, the Bible said, let us keep this feast, are you hearing me now, without yeast. Because Christ, our Passover lamb, has been what? Sacrificed. So there is a festival, that's a feast. So this feast now for us, what we should be doing now is to be feasting. Kai. Is somebody hearing me now? We should be feasting. Our Passover lamb has been what? Sacrificed. Now, they were to hold the feast for 7 days, but our own, no duration. From now forever till Christ comes. From the day you gave your life to Jesus, you enter the festival. Hi. And so what we should do now is to be feasting. Now, feasting how? We should be enjoying the benefits of his death on the cross. Feasting as we're enjoying our salvation, as I'm enjoying divine health, as I'm enjoying wealth, as I'm enjoying holiness and righteousness, as I'm enjoying these things are things we should be enjoying today. But many of us are not enjoying it because you didn't understand what happened on the cross. There is nothing that you are no challenge that you are facing today that the death of Jesus on the cross did not handle. I will try to show you practically how these things happen. Hallelujah. I will show you practically. Now, let's come to this scripture, our text. You will notice that the disciples said to Jesus, Master, where will we go? Where will we go and prepare for you to eat the Passover? Listen, that is what I shared from you from the beginning. We know what we're saying. We want to be part of this thing. We want to play our own part. What are we going to do? Two things here. Location and labor. Where are we going to go? Then two, labor. So, are you following me now? So they want to do something. They want to prepare. Are you following now? Then the master said to them, go. You will meet a man carrying water on his head. Follow that man. Then when you enter the house, he will enter. Tell the owner of the house. Ask him. The man will show you a room in the upper room that is already furnished and prepared. You don't need to do anything. What you are anticipating, are you hearing me now? Already has been done. Furnished and what? Prepared. Listen to me, sister. That healing you are looking forward for, and you are looking for what to do, your part to play to receive it, that healing is already done, given to you. You are healed already. They were looking for what to do. And listen, city, because location, he said, go to a city. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews, you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. When you enter into this city, then you will meet the man carrying the water on his head, the Holy Ghost. Then the Holy Ghost will lead you to a house. You will meet God, who is the owner of the house. And then the owner of the house will show you that I have prepared what you're looking for on the cross of Calvary to the Lord Jesus. Everything is ready, furnished and what? And prepared. You don't need to do anything. So they were looking for what to do, our own part to play. But God was telling them, Jesus said, go, what you are looking for is already done. It's already done. The sense is in the tense. Furnished and prepared. I have done it. That's what you are thinking to do. I have done it already. Look at where I did it. So, I want to show you something. Let's go to 1 Peter. As my time is up, let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 8. 1 Peter 5. Okay. Are you there? Now I read. Be alert and sober. I'm of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring what? Lion. Seeking for someone to devour. Resist him. Huh? How do we resist him? Standing firm in the faith. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So, the enemy is running around like a what? A running lion. And then seeking for who to devour. Then he said, resist him. How do we resist him? Standing firm in the faith. Standing firm. Standing on the finished work. Standing firm. This is the main part of this teaching. When devil attacks you with sickness, how do you resist? You resist by standing on the faith, the finished work. You resist by standing on the truth. You resist by standing on the fact that you know that by his stripes I have been healed. You were healed. I am healed by his stripes. No matter what is happening, you keep telling the devil, quote that scripture, stand on it. Stand on the finished work. I have my healing. It is done. Then that means that nobody will make merchandise of you. Because when they tell you, I have special oil that I prayed over for 30 days. Buy the oil and then use it. You know, no. What I'm looking for is not in the oil. The power is not there. The power is in what Jesus has done on the cross. You need to gaze and look at that. And looking at the serpent and look at Jesus who was on the cross and where he died. Set your mind there and stand on the truth of the gospel you know. Stand, resist the devil standing on the faith. And then tell him, no, by his stripes I am healed.
by his stripes. Stand on that truth. Because he took everything away. From the day they arrested him, listen to me now. He took the sinful nature. When he took the sinful nature, God abandoned him. That was why he cried, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" How did he say it? Now, that means, my God, why have you forsaken me? At that point, God left him. Now, that happened because as a sinner, God is now with you. So he experienced it for you. Hallelujah. So that when you come into Jesus, then God is actually what? Is actually you are united back with God. So he suffered that. He took sin on himself. Now, as he took sin, it becomes so clear that he must have to suffer every other punishment that followed the sin. Listen to me carefully. So as they were now taking him to the cross, from that moment, he never ate anything. And the curse in Deuteronomy says that when you break the law, then you will die of hunger. So he took the hunger that you who is in Jesus will not suffer hunger again. Then the Bible says he never touched anything again. And he had to do that so that you will never die of thirst of anything. He took it on your behalf. Now, as they were going, he went there naked. They removed every cloth on him. They didn't crucify him having any cloth on him. He died naked. Meaning that you yourself in Christ will never suffer nakedness. He suffered it for you. Then as he was going now, they now, remember, he was sold for how many pieces of silver? 30 pieces of silver. That is the price of a slave. So he was sold for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave, so that you will never be a slave in your life for anything. Okay. And then, as he was going, they were making mockery of him. They spat on his face, so that you will never suffer shame. He suffered the shame for you, so that you never suffer shame in life. That is why the Bible said, he that they called, he justified. Though that he justified, he glorified. There is no shame that is following you. And you will never see shame again in your life. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? So as they were leading him out, and one of the things they did, they subjected him to the place where they have to, cane him. As they released the stripes, while he was receiving it, he was receiving all manner of sicknesses, that are in existence. They released it on him. By the time they were doing that, they didn't know what they were doing. He collected it all. At the time they formed the crown of thorn and put it on his head, it was at that time he took away the curse that is on the earth. Because when God cursed the earth, thorns and thistles begin to grow. That day they took thorns and then formed a cross and jammed it on his head. He took away the cross that anywhere you step your feet to do your business, if you understand this truth, no curse of the land, no curse of the area will walk on your behalf. He carried it all. He took it all. And then as they brought him, they now have to nail him on the cross. The Bible says in Galatians that the cost is he. Hallelujah. Cost is he that hung on the cross. He took your curse so that you can become the blessings of Abraham. Every curse upon your life is broken because he took it upon himself. There is no curse that is working on your behalf. No curse in your life. He carried it all. And then when they were leading him, they never knew that he was packing our problems. That they were loading it on him as the scapegoat. That he was carrying it out of the place. When they nailed him on the cross, they nailed the sickness on the cross. They nailed the sin on the cross. They nailed poverty on the cross. They nailed curses on the cross. They nailed shame on the cross. They nailed whatever you can think. They nailed all this on the cross. Hey, when he was on the cross and he was watching, he saw death coming. That is the last of all. The Bible said that the death is the last enemy that will be destroyed. When he saw the enemy coming, the last was coming. And he shouted, "It is finished." They were expecting him to say, "I am finished." A man in such condition should shout, "I am finished." But he didn't say, "I am finished," because it's not about him. He knows he's collecting your trouble. And when the last one come, he said, "I have taken it all." When he shouted, "It is finished," they never knew what he was saying. "I have taken it all. I have taken the death, the last of the enemy. I have taken it upon myself. I have taken it all." He died and gave it the ghost. When he gave the ghost, they carried the body, dead body. Listen to me. That dead body is sin. Because he that know no sin was made sin. Okay. Sin is the greatest enemy of man. He was made sin. And then they carried him down. And then buried him. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to me. They buried him. Now, on the third day, what happened? He resurrected with a new body. Are you hearing me now? A new body. That is why you say, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things has passed away. Everything has become new. Because the old was what was buried, and he came with the new and left the old there. When you join yourself with Jesus, the same thing happened in a moment in your life. The sickness is taken away. The curses are taken away. The sin is taken away. Everything happened at the same time. Then we are buried, and you come up with a new nature. You are now a new creation in Christ. You come with a new creator. A new person that is glorified. A new person that is blessed. A new person that has no curse on him. A new person that when you step out in victory. That when you step out, the enemy see you, and they see the glory of God on you, and they bow before you. Listen, he disarmed the principalities and powers. He made the publisher of them, triumphing over them. Now hear me, hear me, hear me, hear me. In Hebrews 2:14, the Bible said that because we are made of flesh and blood, Jesus took flesh and blood, so that through his death, he will destroy the devil. Hey, he destroyed the works, also destroyed the devil. And then set free those all through their life has been in bondage of fear of death. Let me tell you, a child of God, devil does not have the power to kill you. Hey, I wish somebody is hearing me this morning. They have made merchandise of you. And you know what they normally use? Dead. I saw dead. In fact, if you don't take time, 3 days, you are gone. I saw dead. In fact, dead is hovering over your family. I saw dead. What shall I do? What shall I do? What shall I do? 3 days fasting. And then, you are going to bring something. Then what? Tell me what? Tell me what? Tell me what? From today, you are delivered from the fear of death. He has no power. Because him that has the power of death, he destroyed him. Hallelujah. Guy, I don't have time to teach you how it happened. Are you hearing me now? Do you remember he said he took flesh, because we are made of flesh and blood. Then he took flesh and blood. So that through that, when he took flesh and blood, do you know the power of Satan? Satan's power is the flesh. Satan's power, are you hearing me now? Satan's power is the flesh. So when he took flesh and blood, so that he can carry our sins. Is someone hearing me now? So when he now paid the price and died on the cross, then the power of flesh was abated. It was destroyed. That the devil cannot access you because the flesh has been destroyed. So he destroyed the devil that has the power over there. Listen, that's why he said in Revelation 1:18, the key of death and hate has been given to me. He collected it from the devil. If you're a child of God, your life is hidden in Christ, and Christ is inside God. It's not in the hand of the devil. Devil doesn't have your life anywhere to kill. Hey, can I tell you, your destiny is not in the hand of the devil. Is somebody hearing me here this morning? No, no. In Revelation, are you hearing me now? Chapter 4, 5. The Bible talks about what? There is a scroll in the hand of someone in on the throne that nobody could collect it. And when the man said, I cried, because nobody could approach him to receive that scroll, he cried. And then one of the elders said to him, cry no more, because the lion of the tribe of Judah have triumphed. And he appeared as a lamb that was slain. That means what qualified him to collect it is his death on the cross.
Hi.
He paid the price of humanity. So he got up and then went direct to the throne. And the one on the throne released the scroll to his hand. Then as he released it, the scroll remained in his hand. He began to unseal it. So when he removed a seal, certain events begin to happen.
Hi.
Listen to me. The scroll of your life is in the hand of God. Somebody is not hearing me. It's in the hand of God. Sir, he's the one responsible. He opens seal upon seal. A seal is being removed. That means you're entering a new stage of your life. Something new begin to happen, because God is one that is unveiling it. Your destiny is not in the hand of the devil. My destiny is in the hand of God, not in the hand of the devil anywhere. So Jesus paid the price on the cross. So we stand on the finished work. We stand by saying to the devil, no to what you are saying. Sir, I went for a program, of course, where I teach in Abuja, Bible school where I teach. I finished teaching, and this couple, they said, please, they want to meet me. They want to talk with me. I said, okay. We went, entered the room, and they began to share the experience, especially the man, his experience. And I look at him. This is a person that had pastored church, prophesied, you know, gave many prophecies. But when I discerned what was happening with him, I said, the spirit at work in you is not from God. So immediately I said that, next thing I saw was a terrible, the reaction was something else. The demon inside began to manifest. He just roared. And looked at me and said, so finally I have been exposed. Then, let me cut the story short. Where I'm going is that, you know what this demon said to me from the mouth of the man? He said, I hope you know you didn't prepare for this. I hope you know you didn't prepare for it. And he quoted the Bible for me. He said, the Bible says that this kind cannot go out except by fasting and prayer. Then I look at him, I said, my faith is not in my fasting and in my prayer. My faith is based on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. The demon shouted, what? Wisdom! Where did you get this? He wanted to corner me and say, you know, you didn't fast. You didn't prepare for this. I said, no. My faith is on the finished work of Jesus on the cross, not on my fasting and on my prayer. Listen to me. You must learn to stand on the finished work. When you stand on the finished work, you will see the manifestation of God's power. The preaching of the gospel of the cross, that is the power of God. That is where it lies. Your healing took place there. Your deliverance took place there. Your freedom took place there. Everything. You see, stop looking for what to do. Stop looking for what to add. Hey, are you hearing what I'm saying now? Just believe him. Believe him. The simplicity that is in Christ. Just believe him. Believe him. Stand on there, on the truth. Believe him. I stood on the word of God. I've stood on the word of God several times. That was the first time I experienced divine healing. I attended programs many, many years ago. And I saw the manifesting of God power, healing power. And then one day, after I came back, attack of malaria on my body. I said, what? With my eyes, I saw crippled walk. I saw blind eyes open and malaria. I said, no. I will also experience my own healing divinely. I stood on my ground. For 2 weeks, what was happening around me was going on, the weakness. I say, I stand on the finished work. By his stripes, I am healed. And then one day, I was sitting inside the room. And I noticed the finger was going through my body. When it passed every part, every joint that finger touches and passes, strength comes there. The thing went through my body from head down to my toes. Strength came on me. I jumped out of the room. I was looking for someone to share with what just happened to me. That was how I experienced my healing and my freedom. Learn to stand on the finished work of Jesus. When the devil tells you you will die, tell him I will not die. He tested death for me. You know, I have a lot there, but I will not, because we need to see these things. He have tested death. The Bible says he tested death for all. He tested death for all men. He have died that you will not die. Let nobody torment your soul with a matter of fear of death. Are you hearing me now? Now, the sin you are struggling with, you must understand that sin, he was made sin and then knelt on the cross. Look at the cross and see where that sin had been overcome. Only believe. Only put your faith in him and believe. You will see yourself walking in victory. From today, I declare over your life that you will begin to walk in victory in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, what else will happen is that it will affect the way we pray. Is somebody hearing me now? It will affect. Somebody said there are so many prayer points we have that are not supposed to be prayer points. They are not supposed to be prayer points. Because these are the things that have been given to you. What we should learn is how to appropriate our redemption benefits. How to appropriate them free of charge. And then some churches will close. Hi. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? Some ministers will pack up. Because they are eating, you are the one feeding them. Because of your ignorance, you are the one feeding them. You are the one feeding them. See, if you are called by God, if you are truly called, you fear nothing. I went to Ghana to preach in a conference. I noticed something. Almost all the ministers that also came from Nigeria with me, none of them will finish without raising money. And they were raising money. Huh? I don't understand. I don't know their fear. It was later I heard that they were afraid that the one that invited us, our host, may not be able to transport all of us back. So we are raising money. One day, one of them asked me, how do we share, after raising money, how do ministers share the money? I said, I don't know. Yeah, I don't do that. I don't know how they do it. So he went. Listen to me. If you are called of God, you can't be stranded. So one day like that, we are all sitting like that in the front, the minister's place, and we are seated. And somebody came. Right from home, the person packaged the money in an envelope and came and met one of the ushers and said, take this money to Pastor Chika. Can I see this? So where we are seated, one of the ushers came. All the ministers were looking, saying, no, not you. They sent me. They said, I should give this money to Pastor Chika. So they brought the money and they gave me the money. In the front of everybody, I raised it up. I said, this is more honorable. I carried my money and put it in my pocket. Shebi, they finished raising their own. God is raising my own for me. When we finished on Saturday, our host came out and said, God told him last night that every Nigerian currency you have with you. You have come to Nigeria several times. The whole currency, Nigerian currency you have with you, keep all of them for Pastor Chika.
Everybody was looking.
Shebi, they finished raising their money. God was raising my own for me. Then the man said, even the Sunday service, God said he's the one to close the service for us. The last message for the program. Then after we have parted, he called me. He said, my elder said that other ones, they are all hungry. They're looking for what to eat. That you are the person that we should maintain contact and fellowship with. They do conference every year. 10 days. I start preaching from the 50th day. No other preacher preaches again. I will finish the program. Because I stood my ground. I can't be stranded. Is somebody hearing me now? I can't be. If you are called of God, young ministers, if you are called of God, be sure of your calling. If you are called, you cannot be stranded. I repeat it. I'm speaking out of experience. You cannot be stranded. I've not gone anywhere to say I start to raise money. I cannot be stranded. Are you hearing me now? I cannot be stranded. God will provide money. Oh God. Are you hearing what I say now? God will provide money. I have seen God. Sir, when I married, God married. I married like a madman. My mother asked me, are you sure you are prepared for this thing? I said, I'm prepared. I never knew. I didn't actually ask questions. So, one night, 2 days or 3 days to the traditional marriage, my mother called me, how much do you have? When I told her how much I have, my mother shouted, my son has finished me here. Hey! And she told me, you don't know we need to cook in our house? I said, so we should cook in our house too? Not only our in-law place? You don't know? Hey! My mother said, what shall we do? We have to cook here. More other things that I should buy, I've not bought them. I said, mommy, the only money I have with me now, if I remove the dowry, is about 7,000 something. My mother shouted. Early in the morning, then she now came out again and said, okay, bring that your money. Let's go to the market. I went inside, brought the 7,000 something, put in my pocket, and we went up to the market. The first shop we entered, they check minerals and other drinks for us. Just only drinks. They cost 9,000 something. My mother looked at me, I look at her. My mother don't know, how will we leave this shop? So he said, okay, get the receipt and they calculate it. We'll come back. Then that was how we left the shop. If you are called by God, you cannot be stranded. Immediately we left the shop, crossed the other side of the road. I saw a bus that just stopped. I look inside the bus. I saw a brother all the way from Gombe here, alerted from the vehicle. I said, "Is it not Pastor Samson? Where is he going?" I shouted the name. He turned. "Where are you going?" "Of course, to your house." "To do what?" He said, no, "I'm coming to your place." He said, "Okay." I said, "Let me take you to the house so that you can have your rest. I will come back because we are in the market. We are buying some things." He said, "I'm going to go to the market with you." So while we are going, then he asked me, "How about the preparation?" I said, "We're on it." Now listen. Then he said, "Last night, some people gathered and said, Pastor Chika is in need of money now." They raised money and gave to him, say, "Enter night bus and move to the village." Their village now. And look at how God did it. As we're coming out from the shop, look at him also. The vehicle just stopped. We met there. And he said, "Do you need the money now?" I said, "You are still asking me whether I need the money now?" "You are still asking a question?" That was how he handed the money over to me. My mother didn't know. So the next shop we entered, after pricing things, money, I gave her the money. Another one, money, I gave her the money. Another one, the money, I gave her the money. Another one, the money, I gave her the money. Then I went back to the shop, mineral shop. Remember we said we are coming back. I came back, I said, have you finished? Right? Check it, the receipt. Is it ready? They said the receipt is ready. I gave them the money. Hi.
My mother, she didn't talk to me. I didn't know she was wondering. In fact, she concluded that I've changed. That I began to tell lies to her.
We left the house, and I didn't see you enter anywhere. And all this money came out. How?
That was how God took care of everything. When I finished, I came back. Transportation money to come back. I don't have. So, I was lying down inside the room. Two of my cousin brothers, one of them gave me the bus that carried us to my in-law. They came again. I said, we noticed that we didn't give you any cash. We only supported you we gave you a bus. We didn't give you cash. So they came back again to come and give me cash. They brought the money. It was the money that would bring me back to Gombe. I collected the money. Then I told my mother, my wedding is coming up in a month's time. My mother said, no. You have started again. No. You have started again. No, I don't believe that. Until I see the invitation card in 2 weeks' time. I said, okay, if you see it in 2 weeks' time, you'll be... He said, yes. While coming back, I stopped in Josh. In a friend's house, Evangelist Mike is in U.S. now. We are talking. I said, my wedding is coming up in a month's time. He said, okay, I will print the invitation card for you. And if you are to go back home in 2 weeks' time, you will have it ready. As I was going back, I came back home with the invitation card. I said, Mama, see it. She looked at me like this. He said, I believe in you. God called you. I believe that God called you. Listen, you can't be stranded. I won't bother you with this. Your ministers, if you are sure you are called, please understand that you can never be stranded in life. I was traveling one day. I came to a place. Our motor got spoiled on the road. So, a taxi man that was coming saw us and stopped. He has another man inside who was angry with him. Why did you stop for them? And the man started quarreling the driver. Why did you stop here? Why did you stop for these people? They were quarreling. At a point, the driver parked. The other man, they wanted to fight. And I came out. I look at them. I don't know what to tell them. I said, stop that. I'm talking to you. I'm a pastor. Stop that. All of them they kept quiet. The driver entered back. The other man, they never talked to each other again. Same word again. Until we reached to a place where we had to alight and look for bus that would carry us to really to our destination. When we came out there, it was in the night. No bus. No vehicle. Then, the other man that was calling with the driver, who was asking, annoyed that the driver stopped to carry us. I didn't know it was an army officer. So, he went out and go and made arrangement with a bus. Paid the money for the bus completely. Because he was afraid of his life. He's a security man. He said he paid. And then the bus came. The bus was to carry him to where he's going. So when he now came and he saw me among other passengers, he said, Oga, come. I came. He said, enter the bus. The bus carried only two of us and left. When we got to the east, there's a road he was to follow. And then me, I have the way to go. Then he said to the driver, follow this way. The driver said to him, no, sir. We must follow this one. We must help this man. The driver refused him and carried me until he brought me to where I'm going, my place. And they have to continue the journey. Listen, you cannot be stranded if you are called by God. Bear with me. Let me give you this one. Bear with me. Police. I was coming from Jos. Police arrested me. I bought goods. Where the receipt? I showed them the receipt. They collected the receipt from me, rumpled it, and put it inside pocket.
You know what they're looking for? So I said, I'm not giving you anything. The passengers, they begged me, bring half and we give half. I said, I'm not giving you anything. I'm giving the receipt. Everything is intact. Then they said, we'll leave you here and go. I said, fine, fine, you can go. And they left. Only me and them. Then at a point, the police, the guardia became sick there and then. Then they began to threaten me. They said, we will carry you to where nobody can trace you. I said, fine. So they all enter vehicle. They said, you enter. I entered. They started going back, just direction. They came to a particular place. They said they want to eat. They entered the restaurant. When they finished eating, it was only me and the driver inside the vehicle. I asked the driver, are you a Christian or a Muslim? The driver said to me, Oga, the Oga here now, the Oga here is a Christian. I said, no, I'm not asking you about Oga. You. He said, no, Oga is a Christian. You know, what he was telling me is your brother that is dealing with you here. So after talking like that, they came out. The Oga entered the vehicle, all of them. Oya, continue your way down to Jos. When they came out from the restaurant to the junction, to the main road, the driver turned and started coming back towards Bauchi. Listen. The Oga said, I say, turn this vehicle, Jos Road. The driver said, no, sir. You don't know. Do you have false people here? The driver said, no, sir. We must help this man. And we continue our journey back to the spot where we left before. And after a while, the man turned and looked at me and said, carry your things and leave this place. So I now started going. The police people with their gun, they started shouting, Bible don't win. And they said, but remaining one thing, this place, it will be hard for you to get vehicle. Immediately I get to the road, the first bus coming, I raise my hand, the bus stopped. Hey, Bible don't win, sir. I arrived Gombe. After some months or year, up to a year or 2 years, I was in the church. People have been long in Gombe. There is this missionary, a Baptist missionary, a white man, from, you know, that lived in this Gombe many, many years ago. I was in the church. The man came with his driver. They drove inside the church. And why I came to meet them at the gate, the driver, one of the persons in the vessel, came out and removed his dark glasses and looked at me and asked, can you recognize me? I said, no. He said, look at me very well. Can't you? I said, no. Then look at what he said. That day, we were coming back from Jos, and the police people stopped you. They held you. I was inside the vehicle that day. He said, what happened that day? I've used this to preach many places. I said, if we have people that can stand on the truth, like that man I met that day, this nation will have changed. Then, you know my question? Why didn't you identify with me that day? Because I didn't know I have a brother inside that vehicle. Sincerely, he didn't say anything. I didn't know I have a Christian. Didn't say anything. Oh, in the time of my need, didn't show up for me. He's here now. You are telling me you are inside that vehicle that day, and you have used it to preach. But what I want you to know is that if you are called, you cannot be stranded. All this, our fear, deal with it. Christ has handled everything on the cross. Are you hearing me now? He has handled everything. In this town, an agent of darkness followed me in this Gombe over 20 years. Sir, I never know anything. I was not fighting the person. I don't know there's anything going on in my head. But everything they did, the lady said, none of them worked. Because Jesus disarmed the principalities and powers. He made the public show of them, triumphing over them on the cross. Today, from today, devil will not deceive you anymore. Hungry preachers will never feed on you. They will never make merchandise of you anymore. in the name of Jesus Christ. Go back to your Bible and learn to stand on the finished work of Christ, and you will see victory in your life. I want you to be on your feet. What are you struggling with? What is it that is around you are struggling with? I have shown you scriptures. If it is sickness, I want you to speak to that sickness. Are you hearing what I'm saying now? I want you to stand on the word and speak to that sickness. Whatever it is, if there is a particular sin you are struggling with, I want you to stand on the word and address that. Today, that thing will end in your life. That addiction will end in your life. Can I hear a better amen? I said that addiction will end today. That bondage will end today. Look at the cross and then stand on the finished work and tell that thing that Jesus was made sin, and then it will have been crucified on the cross. Is it poverty? The Bible said that he was made poor so that we can become rich. What is your problem? Can you open your mouth now? I want you to address it. I want to hear you pray. Address it. Address it. Jesus is the wisdom and the power of God. Address it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I speak into your life now. Every sickness in your body, I speak and I address them. Receive your healing now. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. I command every pain in your system. I command them to leave you. I command them out of your body. In the name of Jesus, right now I address everything happening around you that look like curse. I say Jesus took your curse. You are no longer cursed. I command everything that looks like that in your life, be broken in the name of Jesus. I said, be broken in the name of Jesus. I said, be broken in the name of Jesus. I said, be broken in the name of Jesus. Be broken in the name of Jesus. Today, I remove the garment of shame from your life. You will not see shame. I declare that glory shall follow you. You are glorified in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I speak to you today that everything you lay your hand upon, it shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatever you lay your hands upon to do, I say it shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. I declare over you that no evil presence shall follow you. The glory of God shall follow you. Goodness and mercy shall follow you. In the name of Jesus, by the reason of this conference, I declare you free from every satanic oppression. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father. Go ahead and give him thanks. The sense is in the thanks. Go ahead and give him thanks.
Gateway Christian Center. Experience life.